Today's shiur is dedicated to Ilu Nishmas
Elka Bas
Moshe on her first yard set that was last week. Mr. Shem, the learning today and all this chusim should be an aliyah for her neshama. It's a great pleasure for us to have today a great leader among us, a rav, an educator, an historian, all three unbelievable positions that he had in his life. He joined us today for shiur. I'm nervous, but I'm okay because I'm not talking too much history today. Some shurim I talk a little bit more history about the Rishonim, then I'd be much more nervous. But Baruch Hashem, today's shiur is not so much history, so I'm not as worried, but it's an unbelievable schus and a pleasure for us to have Rabbi Barrel Wine with us here today, to join us, to be mechazik us. I must say that when I decided to go into Rabbanus, my wife bought me a present. And the gift she got me was the book, Tending the Vineyard. And I read the Rav's book, and I got unbelievable chizik. My wife read the book and was a little bit nervous. But I read the book and I got unbelievable chizik from the Rav's book about what does it mean to be a Rav, how to deal with the Rabbanuts. So I'm very grateful for the Rav and I enjoy his history lessons. I watch them quite often on YouTube. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on recording. But okay, in any case, I watch much of the Rav's history lessons and I gained a lot from him in a historical level. So I thank him publicly for both of those two things.
Thank you.
I'd also like to acknowledge that we have the Freedmans back with us. From Eretz Yisrael, even though they were never gone. They were with us digitally. They were listening to the shurim, they were emailing, but it's great to see them both here and back with us. It's a schutz for us and it's a schutz for them as well. Again, although I apologize for not being here last week. I had a wedding in Baltimore that I had to pack up my wife and three kids, including a three-month-old baby, drive to Baltimore back and forth in one day. So someone asked me, what would I rather be doing Sunday morning, driving to Baltimore or saying shir? I said, I'd rather be saying two shurim on a fast day and then having jury duty. That's what I said. I ended up having three kids, three of my own kids and two kids of someone else in the back seat.
Are we there yet?
Yeah, driving all the way to Baltimore. So my wife decided to keep the kids busy. We'll have to put in a video that's really long. So she found our wedding video. So I got to watch and listen to my wedding video all the way down to Baltimore. What was nice about it was I was able to chazer kedushin. Because throughout the wedding video, I was pointing out to my children, oh, this is this, and this is that sugya, and this sugya, where they were showing them, we were discussing, again, remember my daughter is eight, but we were discussing the sugyas until we got to the badekin. So I was trying to explain to them how the badekin, you could do erisin before, how you could do nesuin before erisin, the Mordechai in kedushin. At that point, my wife asked me from talking anymore, and that was the end of the trip. But in any case, I apologize for not being here.
Before you got to the Yichud.
We didn't get to anything good. Before you got to see the Kedushin and anything. We got a little bit discussing the Tanayim and maybe parts of the Ksuba. But in any case, I apologize for not being here. And again, Purim I couldn't control, but Baruch Hashem, we're back here together. Last week's parasha had a lot of good things to talk about, both in Parashat Vayakha Bakudim and likewise in Parashat HaChodesh. The Daz Kein of Aliyat Tosfos points out in last week's parasha that the women were much quicker to give donations for the Mishkan than the men were. Which is funny, because when it came to the Chet HaEgel, we found the exact opposite. When it came to the Chet HaEgel, the men were much quicker to give money and to donate to the Egel, while the women were much more reserved and didn't want to give. What is the idea over here between why, when it came to the Mishkan, the women were much more forward and the men were a little bit more lax? So Rabbi Fran explains that the idea was the Mishkan, Chazal tell us, was to be misak in the Chet HaEgel. Klal Yisrael sinned in the Egel, now they had to have a Mishkan to, so to say, fix the sin of the Egel. And the men's attitude was, we don't want this. I mean, if we have to build a Mishkan, that means we sinned, that means Hashem is angry at us, He's upset at us, and now we have to deal with it. We have to live this new life of post-Chet HaEgel. And they weren't yet ready to come to terms with it. They weren't ready to say, yeah, we're done, we're finished. Maybe we can get another kapara. Maybe Hashem will forgive us again. They didn't want to come to terms with the reality. As opposed to the women, they said, no, this is the new reality, let's make the best of it. And the same idea, we find that the women had just a much better upbeat attitude about what was going on. In Mitzrayim, we find the women, they had a better attitude than the men. The Chet HaEgel, they had a better attitude. So throughout history, many times, we find that the women have a little bit more of the positive attitude. And we all find this sometimes in our own lives, that when we're a little bit on the depressed side, they have the optimistic outlook. And that's not just our wives, but that's dating back to the times of B'nai Yisrael early days, that Klal Yisrael had this in the DNA of the women, to be a little bit more optimistic and say, don't worry, it's going to be okay. We'll find the good in this, as opposed to the men that many times have the negative attitude. The Beis Halevi points out that when it comes to building the Mishkan, the Torah says many times the words Kasher Tziva Hashem, like Hashem commanded us. The Beis Halevi asks, why does that have to tell us so many times, the way, just like Hashem commanded us? So the Beis Halevi says, it's because he's trying to teach us that to be mechabed for the Chet HaEgel. What was the problem with the Egel? They didn't listen to anyone. They did whatever they wanted. They didn't get a command from a Moshe Rabbeinu or from an Aaron, do this, do that. They did as they pleased. So therefore, to be misakin such an attitude of do as you want, you have to follow of kasha tziva Hashem. You do what you're told. And that's why says the Beis Halevi, why the Bnei Yisrael were told so many times in the Mishkan, this is the way Hashem wants it, to remind us that that's the way we have to follow our lives, the way Hashem told us, not what feels good to us. Rav Guzman quotes over from Reb Chaim Moizer. Reb Chaim Moizer used to say, when you're talking, when you're saying over a shtickle Torah, you have to ask yourself, is this really Dvar Hashem? Is this really God's words? Is this what Hashem wants? Many times in life, you speak to people, they'll tell you, this is Hashem's will. How do you know? You ask them. We always say, this is what Hashem wants. We say that because we want to justify what we're doing, so we say, this is what Hashem wants. But the lesson over here is, we sometimes have to ask yourself, is this taka what Hashem wants? Am I doing God's will? Kashetziva Hashem, that was the lesson from the Mishkan. We find in the Medrash, in the end of in Parshas Pekudei, that the Bnei Yisrael were very concerned about where the money went. Everyone donated money. They wanted to know where the money went. So the pasuk goes out to explain where the money went. So Zalman Sirotzkin asked, he said, I don't understand. When it came to the Chet Egel, no one asked where the money was going. You don't find that there had to be any account of where the money went. They gave the money so happily. Also now when it came to the Mishkan, everyone's counting every dollar. So Zalman Sirotzkin said, when it comes to Ruchnias, we're very careful how we spend the money. We want to make sure every penny, you know, we want to know that the institution is using every penny right. When it comes to our gashmis, we have no problem spending all the money we want. We don't ask any questions. Says, that's the lesson of the Jewish people. When it comes to spirituality, we're very careful. I want to make sure that every penny is going to good use. I don't want you to, you know, waste one penny on something that's not of my hard-earned money. But when it comes to things that we enjoy that are not spirituality, we're very quick to spend the money. And Moshe Sternbach adds, he says, it's very true that the pasuk explains where the silver and the copper went. But where did the gold go? So Moshe Sternbach says, you know, in life, you have those people who give very little, but they want to have a big say. They give little, they give dissolved, and the choish is not very valuable. They're the guys who are asking, my $5 donation that I gave, I want to know where it went. The guys who gave the zahav, the big bucks, they're the ones that are not asking to know where the money went. It's the people that I give the little sums that think that they have a lot of right based on their small donation. They want to know, where did all my $5 go? And that we have to answer. But the people who gave the Zov, says of Moshe Sternbach, that was the large donations, the big donations, those people tend not to ask where their money went. They understand that their money's going to good need. We know Chazal tells us that the Mishkan was actually completed on Chafei Kislev, but it was waited to be put up until Aleph Nisan. So the Mefarshim ask, why the wait? If it was finished in Kislev, put it up. In Kislev, why wait till Nisan? So Rabbi Fran likewise quotes a beautiful pshat. He says, because what was the sin of the Chet Egel? Klai Yisrael was impatient. They couldn't wait. A few hours late, Moshe Rabbeinu is not here. What are we going to do? The world's coming to an impatience. So Klai Yisrael was learning a lesson. Sometimes you have to have patience. Yes, you finished the Mishkan, the Chafei Nisan, but wait. It's going to take a few months until we're ready to put it up. Don't rush. Don't be so quick. Many times when we make decisions, in haste, we end up making mistakes. So therefore, Klai Yisrael was learning a very valuable lesson that don't make everything so quickly. Think about it. Ponder it. You know, let it digest a little bit. Then you're ready to go on and work with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. We know that there's something special about the month of Nisan, which really answers the question of why they waited till the month of Nisan to put up the Mishkan. There's a very beautiful piece in Aruch HaShulchan. We know the Aruch HaShulchan was a Dayan, Paskin Shilas. But in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, so he wrote in Hilchas Pesach, in the beginning of Hilchas Pesach, he goes on a little bit of a drush. And he asks the following question. He says, why is it that we know Chodesh Nisan is the first of the Jewish months? And we count in Nisan Yer Sivan, that's the first of the Jewish months. He says, why is Nisan the first month? It should be Tishrei's first. It's first in the calendar. Tishrei is the first. Should be the first month. Why isn't this in the first month? Likewise, he asks a similar question that we mentioned earlier. Why was the Mishkan put up in Nisan and not in the end of Kislev? So he explains that the lesson that the Jewish people learned in the month of Nisan was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely in control of the world. We know that the Mitzrim were very into mazolis, that each one had a mazel, that their luck. The month of Nisan was the Tleh. So when the Jewish people took the Tleh for the current Pesach, that's when the Mitzrim and the Jews alike learned that there's no such mazel in the world. There's no other forces in the world besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's why the month of Nisan is so special. That was a month when the world learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the show. He explains that's pshat in the very famous halacha that we're all so thrilled about, that we don't say Tachanun the whole month of Nisan. So the Magen Avraham says you don't say Tachanun because since most of the month, that's why you don't say. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, it's not the pshat. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's because the whole month is Kaddish. He quotes Masechta Seifim, says that Asid Libanis Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt in the month of Nisan. The month of Nisan is a special month. B'Nisan Asidim Ligal. There's something special intrinsically about the month of Nisan because that's when the Bnei Yisrael learned the idea of that we, Hashem is completely running the world. There's no other forces, outside powers in the world. The Mazalas have no power, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. we find that there are some shuls that are already not saying tachanun now. The Shivas Yimei Amluim. I was shocked to hear by me in Queens, one of the young Israels is not saying tachanun. I was a little disappointed by that. I didn't think that was the rules. Right? I'm sure here they're saying tachanun, right? So, Chassidish shuls are one thing. Okay. But I was shocked to hear by one of the young Israels by me in Queens, they weren't saying tachanun. I was very, very disturbed by this. But in any case, there's a meaning not to say tachanun during the Shivas Yimei Amluim, during the 7 days prior to putting up of the Mishkan. What was the significance of those 7 days? So if you look at Midrashim, it's mavor that what they did each one of those days, they put the Mishkan up and take it down. Either twice a day or even three times a day. So the question is, what's the significance of putting it up and putting it down? So then the Nesivah Shalom, the Slan Rebbe points out, it's a very valuable lesson for us to realize in our Ruchnias, we have ups and downs. We go up, we go down. Sometimes we build and sometimes we destroy. And we have to realize that's all part of the process. That it's not necessarily that we're losing or giving up by having Yerida. We have Yeridas, we have Aliyas, we have ups and downs. And before Klai Yisrael was ready to put up this unbelievable thing called the Mishkan, they had to learn this lesson of ups and downs, which is a lesson that we live with all the time. The Ramban writes in his commentary at the beginning of Sefer Shmois, that Sefer Shmois is the Sefer that discusses Geula, the redemption. Now if you look through Sefer Shmois, we reached one level of Geula, but we didn't get to Eretz Yisrael yet. We reached that we have a Mishkan. So if Soloveitchik points out that if Shechter quotes in this his new Sefer Chumash that I was zeicher enough to get from someone in the shir, that if Shechter points out that you see from over here that the geula is totally in Hashuas Hashchina. What makes the geula is not the fact of whether or not we're living in Eretz Yisrael. What makes the geula is the fact that we have a place for Hashem to dwell. And he says that's why Sefer Shmois, although there was no entering of Eretz Yisrael in Sefer Shmois, it's called the Sefer HaGeula, the redemption. Why is there a redemption? Because we had the Mishkan. We had a place for the Shechina to dwell. So once we have a place for the Shechina to dwell, that could be considered the Geula. He quotes from the Chazon Ish that when after 1948, they asked the Chazon Ish, does that mean we're ready to move on to the next phase of life and start building a Beis HaMikdash? So the Chazon Ish's answer was, yes, it's the end of the Golos, but we didn't hit the Geula. It's the other way. We finished the Golos, but we didn't reach the Geula yet. So it's a very valuable lesson, a takeaway from the whole Sefer Shmois that we just finished on Shabbos, is to realize what we're striving for. What does it mean to be Geula? What's real redemption? We talk about this by Mitzrayim. What's Geula? What does it mean redemption? Just to be free to do as we want? Is that what redemption means? When we left Mitzrayim, we were free? We weren't working as slaves? Or redemption means a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can dwell among us, even today in our shuls, in our homes, in our Bat Midrashim, we want to have a place for Ashras Hashchina, and that's a level of Geula until we Zoyche Mitzvah Hashem to the ultimate Geula. Okay. We're holding over here in a new Sugya, Baruch Hashem, a new Mishnah, and Daf Ayin Chesed Amar Aleph in Gittin. We're going to do something different today. We're going to only learn a Mishnah. I'm not going to learn any Gemara. I'm just going to learn a Mishnah. They say Rav Gusman, when he used to learn Mishnayis Gemara, he'd cover up the Gemara, and he'd learn the Mishnah. And he'd say to himself, what kashas do I think the Gemara is going to ask? And then he'd remove the paper and see the Gemara. And say, well, hey, why didn't the Gemara ask my kasha? Or why didn't I think of the Gemara's kasha? That's where Rav Gusman used to learn Gemara. So we'll make believe we're doing that today, even though we're not really. We'll just learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts like this. Omar lo kinsi shtar choif. A husband goes over to his wife with all intention of divorcing her, and he hands her a piece of paper. Instead of telling her, this is your get, he tells her, this is your shtar choif. You owe me $100. This is the gas bill. This is the cell phone bill. Or she finds it behind her, Kara, she reads it, or she finds a piece of paper in her house, she says, oh, lo and behold, wow, I didn't realize he's divorcing me, I thought things were working out well. And all of a sudden now she reads it and it's a get. Zog the Mishnah, ain't a get. None of these two cases are a good get. Until he actually says to her the words, this is your get. The Mishnah concludes, Nasan biyoda v'hi yishena. What happens if this guy's really scared of his wife? So he puts the get in her hand when she's sleeping. She doesn't have to deal with anything, no conflict. Puts the get in her hand, she's sleeping. So Ni'ura, she wakes up, Kara, and she reads it. Farehu Gita, and lo and behold, it's a get. What a way to wake up from a nap. Ein a get, at sheyei melo ha'gitich. It's not a get until he tells the words to her, ha'gitich. So you see, seemingly from the Mishnah, a couple of chidushim, before we even see the next step. You see from the Gemara, from the Mishnah, first of all, that whenever you give a get, there are certain words you can't use, and seemingly certain words you need to use when giving a get. That's chidush number one. Chiddush number two, you see from the Mishnah, that even if you used wrong words, you don't have to give the get again. One would have thought that if I used wrong words for the get, so then I have to give the get, take it back, and make a new Maisa Nesina. We've spoken so many times about this concept of Nesina. You have to make an actual giving. So if the first giving was no good because I used bad words, so I would have to make another Maisa Nesina. You see from the Mishnah, you don't have to make another Maisa Nesina. You just fix it with new words, and that solves the whole problem.
But you see that?
Because it doesn't say you have to make another ma'aseh nesina. It just says until you say the word haygitech, which means you don't have to give it again. And it mean, if you would have had to take it back and give it again, the Mishnah should have said, take it back, give it again, and say haygitech. So it's mashma from Mishnah, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is just say the word, you fix your original word, and you're ready to move on. So these are some of the issues we need to deal with. The kasha that I'm sure many of you are bothered with, especially because we've been learning Gittin for quite a while, and before we did Gittin, we did Kedushin, is that why do you need to say anything by a get? Get bal karcha. Get doesn't need any consent. So if it doesn't need any consent, right, we don't need anything. She's not active at all in this entire procedure. So if she's not active at all, why does it matter what I say to her? At the end of the day, I gave a get as Mekayim the Torah, and not somebody else. I gave her, it's a get. Right? The paper says Ariat Muteris. The get's fine. It's what I say to her. So what? Who cares what I say to her?
So by Kedushin,
we talked about, and we'll talk about it again, that the Amir by Kedushin might be because Kedushin is about consent. She has to know what she's...
It says in the shtar.
It might be totally good. Okay. That's totally in how the shtar is going to work. Okay. But Lina, we'll get to all these types of shtars.
All these cases we had in previous months, right, where put on her property and his property, this, where was the... Amira.
Right. So that's the question. Is there a halacha somewhere that we missed that every get needs an Amira or not? So in order to answer this question, we have to have a little bit of an introduction to a sugi which we've learned already.
So she found it behind her. There was no nesina there.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't a sinu rishusa. He put it in her backyard. Right? Whatever it was. Chatzir, right? So that's a little bit of a background. Where for us, it's really a chazara from Kedushin Davav. As much as we run away from it, we can't seem to get out of Kedushin. Okay? So the Gemara says this in Kedushin, really quoting a Mishnah Maisa Sheni. Gufa, thus says the Gemara in Kedushin, Gufa. Let's say a person was talking with a wife about Gittin V'Kedushin topics. Whatever that means. Both by Gittin V'Kedushin, says the Gemara, the Nasan Logita Vikadushah, and he gave her either a get Vikadushim Veloy Pirush, and never explained anything to her. They were talking about getting married, they were talking about getting divorced, they were talking about where the wedding is going to be, where the divorce is going to be, who's getting what, you know, that type of stuff. And then he hands her a piece of paper. He doesn't say anything. So the Gemara is a machloikis. Basically said that's sufficient. The fact that they were talking about either divorce or marriage prior to the giving, and then he gave it to her. So we all understand where he was coming from when he did it. This is not, you need an explicit explanation of what you wanted to do with this giving. The Gemara says, no, we're talking about a case where they were talking about Oisinian, meaning they were talking about related matter. They were talking about where they're going to get married, where they're going to get divorced. Then he hands her a piece of paper, he hands her a ring. This is a machloikis in the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni. So you see clearly from the Gemara, which is really a Mishnah Maaseh Sheni, that you need to have some form of talking. The only question the Gemara is, can assume talking be good enough? And the Gemara says, Gittin and Kedushin. The Gemara puts the two together. So you see really from the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni, that when it comes to Gerushin, you need to have some form of talking. You can't just give a get quietly. The only question the Gemara is, if I gave it quietly, but before I gave it, I had a conversation with her, is that enough to roll over to be considered as if I made an Amira? But you see clearly from the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni and the Gemara and Kedushin that if it would just be nothing, you just walk over to the lady and hand her blank a piece of paper and say nothing, that for sure wouldn't be good. You have to make some form of an Amira. Machloikis in the Gemara is if you have a Sukkim Bais Inyan, which means you're talking about Gerushin before, and then you give her the paper, so somehow, magically, that a Sukkim Bais Inyan can fill the void of Amira. But without anything, just walk over to her on a random day, hand her a get, and not say anything, that would seem like it's no good. Now the obvious question is, why? Why do you need any Amira? But what's important for us, at least for now in our sugya, is you see clearly from the Gemara and Kedushin, you have to have at least some form of an Amir. So Frek the Rashba, by us in Gittin, number 3, asks the Rashba the Tamali. I don't understand. Amai nokat lo ba'oma lo kin sishtar choiv. Asks the Rashba, if I just proved to you from the Gemara and Kedushin, that every get that is given needs to have some form of talking involved. You can't just give it through shtika. You got to say something. Either you'll say explicitly this is a get, or you'll talk about getting divorced. So asks the Rashba, so why did our Mishnah talk about a case of Kinsi Shtar Choyiv? The Kosher came by Omele Kinsi Shtar Choyiv. The Mishnah should have said a bigger Chiddush. The Mishnah should have walked in and said, if you say to your wife when you give her a get nothing, the get's not good. That's even a bigger Chiddush. I understand if you tell her the wrong thing, the get's no good, that's one thing. But what happens if you say nothing? So the Mashmois of this Mishnah would have been, if you would have been Medayik from this Mishnah, that the reason why the get's no good, that's because you said something negative, something that's not true. He said it's a bill and it's really a get. What happens if you'd say nothing? Just hand it a piece of paper. So I would have derived from the Mishnah such a case, the get is good. So asks the Rashba, the Mishnah should have said a bigger Chiddush. The bigger Chiddush would have been that even if you gave it Stam, which just Shtika, just being quiet, still the get's no good. And Kosher came when you give it and you say the wrong thing. So why did the Mishnah pick a case of Shtar Choiv and not a case of Stam?
Isn't that
the Gemara? Right, so the Pasha the Teretz is that's Etzim the Mishnah Ma'aseh Sheni. Now, the truth is, I think the answer to that Akash is that the Mishnah Ma'aseh Sheni is not so clear. It's not Mefurish in the Mishnah Ma'aseh Sheni, it's derived from Machloikis or Beisim of Yehuda. But here there'll be a Mefurish in Mishnah Gittin, that the Mishnah will get and walk in and tell me a Chiddush that every get needs a Ma'aseh Amir. That would be the Chiddush of the Mishnah Gittin. The second case of Mishnah is a different Chiddush, right? I'm talking about, let's say, the first case, the case of Kinsi Shtar Choyv Zer, where you tell her, here's the bill. So, Frek the Rashba, in that case, the Mishnah could have said a much more simple Chiddush. It should have told me, we're talking about a case where you gave the get without saying anything, and the get's still no good because of the Gemara in Kiddushin. And Kol Shekein, if you say something that's not true, the get's no good. That's the question of the Rashba. So, the Rashba gives two answers. And he says like this, Yesh Loima, V'hacha Afilu B'Shasukim Bo'yse Inyan. The Rashba's first answer is no. We are talking about a case of a sukkim by Isinian. They were talking about getting divorced. He then gives her a paper and says to her, here, this is the bill that you owe me. So says the Rashba, else the din of needing to know what's going on, a sukkim by Isinian would have been sufficient. But because you said those words, shtar choyf, you went out and said, it's a bill, you ruined it. So because you ruined it, that's why the get's no good. But of course we're talking about a case where there was a prior amira, because without a prior amira, it's never good. That's the first teretz of the Rashba. Inami, says the Rashba, second answer. The Rashba's second answer is, you're right. We're talking about a case where it was not a sukkim by Sinyan. He had no idea, she had no idea what he was talking about. He comes over to his wife one day and says, here's the bill, nice knowing you. She opens up and she reads it. So says the first effect, the Rashba, what do you mean? Of course the get's no good. The get's no good because there was no Amira. Says Rashba, you're right, the get's no good because there was no Amira. But the Chiddush over here is that since he said it's a shtar choyv, and then he went back and said it's a get, so that fixes it even though it's such a bad case. You know, over here you have two things working against you. You had no amira in the first place, and you used the negative amira. You told her it's a bill instead of being a get. So it says the Rashba, the Chiddush over here is that even though it's so negative, so many issues with this nesina, you can fix it with hagitech, which is the Chiddush. That even though it's so many things wrong, just saying those words, hagitech, without a nesina fixes it. That's the Rashba's second answer.
Is the Amira by Get working the same way as the Amira by Kedushin? Because by Get, we don't need the woman's das.
100%. That's so part of the cash that we still need to get to yet. Okay, good. That's what we still need to get to. I haven't yet explained that. So at the end of the day, good. But why do you need her das? Okay, let's get to that now. What comes out from the two Tzavutzim in the Rashba? So the Achrayim point out to her, Gittin, the Beishmuel, they point out there seems to be some big nafkaminas lahalacha between these two Tzavutzim and the Rashba. What would happen in a case where a guy gives a sukkim by sinyan? He tells his wife, listen, I'm talking about getting divorced, let's maybe get divorced. And then he gives her a paper and says, shtar choyf. Would that be good? So according to the first answer of the Rashba, no. That's our Gemara. According to the second of the Rashba, maybe yes. Because the Rashba learned the Gemara was talking about where they were not a sukkim by sinyan. They weren't previously talking about divorce. But what would happen if they were previously talking about divorce? Maybe then it would be good.
No, but maybe the bad amira, even with a sukkim by sinyan, is worse than no amira.
Maybe that's what we're going to get to in a second. That's what we're going to learn about a little later. We're going to talk about that. So the Teres Gittin says that l'chayra, that halacha should be told in the two Teresim in this Rashba. If you hold it the first Teres of the Rashba, the answer is it gets no good. If you hold it the second Teres of the Rashba, it should be good. So the Beis Shmuel nems on for a Dover Pashut. He assumes right off the bat it gets no good. Says the Teres Gittin, why? It should depend on the two answers of the Rashba. So according to the Rashba, we understand at least the case of our Mishnah. The case of our Mishnah is either a sukkim by Sinyan, and still it's no good because you had a bad Amira. So clearly a bad Amira is worse than no Amira. If this guy would have kept his mouth closed and just given her the get, it would be fine. Because he had a sukkim by Sinyan that fixes all the problems. But because this guy got up and said something negative, he said, shtar choyv zeh, that ruins it. Now we'll talk a little later about why does that ruin it. Let's just delete it. Let's just make believe he never said it. If he doesn't need to say anything, so let's just, you know, off the record as they say, we won't take anything he said, and let's move on. How could a bad Amira ruin in a case where you don't need any Amira? By Kedusha, when you have to say a specific text, so we understand, if you don't have the right text, it doesn't work. But over here, let's close our ears. He said nothing. So if he said nothing, it's still good because it's a sukkim by Sinyan. Yeah.
What if you have a bad amira that's from
Batulah? That's the point. Very good. Right, exactly. Okay, beautiful. We're going to get to that in a few minutes today, hopefully. Some Rishonim assume like that. That this is Mevatul, his first amira. Okay, we're going to have to get to that hopefully today, if not, Mitzvah Shem next week. Okay. So let's see the Rambam Shita. The Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin writes the following. So Dr. Rambam, Hamigarish, someone who divorces a wife, Tzarech Sheyemalo, he has to say to her, Kishayitun lo haget, when he gives her the get, Hareze gitech, he has to say these words, here is your get, Oy hu gitech, or this is your get, Ukiyotzeba. Similar, the Shayin is describing what's going on. Says the Rambam, if he gives her again, it says absolutely nothing to her. So the Rambam, I raise a get puzzle. We know that when the Rambam writes get puzzle, it's different than when the Rambam writes ain a get. As we'll see later on, there's another Rambam in the sugya where the Rambam writes ain a get. So first and point out, ain a get means it's not a get midiraisa. Get puzzle means it's a get midiraisa, but only puzzle midirabon. So clearly the Rambam was of the opinion that when you don't have amira, although it renders the get puzzle, it's only puzzle midirabonon, it's still kosher midiraisa. Says the Rambam, well, it depends. If they weren't talking about get beforehand. But if they were talking about get beforehand, so that's like the Gemara, that's good enough. So who told the Rambam that the psul is only a psul de Rabbanon? Pashtus, he learned the Gemara, Gemara Kedushin, Mishnah Maaseh Sheni, it sounds like you need to have Amira. Yeah, the Gemara says that if you have Medaber, it fixes it. But without Medaber Ima, no prior conversation, just giving of a get with no conversation, what we call Shtika, that would be no good. So who told the Rambam that ain't a get, only it's Pasul Mid Rabbanon? How did the Rambam know? So the Lechem Mishnah points out over here, the Rambam knew it from the Rajba's Kasha. That's how the Rambam knew it. The Rambam walked into the Sugya and he said to himself, what's going on over here? There's a Mishnah in Gittin that talks about a case of a Shtar Choyiv. Why did the Mishnah have to be so complicated? Why couldn't the Mishnah just be talking about a case where he said nothing? Stam, Shtika. The Rajba's Kasha. Says the Lechem Mishnah, the Rambam was bothered with the Rajba's Kasha. Why does the Mishnah make things so complicated by talking about when he tells us a Shtar Choyiv? Let the Mishnah be simple. He goes over to the lady and says, he gives it again and says nothing. Why does it have to be so complicated? Elamai says the Lechem Mishnah, the Rajba said to himself, there must be something special about this Mishnah. What's special about this Mishnah? He says, you see from over here that if it's just Stam Shtika, if he says nothing, nope, that's possible with Rabban. But if he says something bad, something which is clearly not a divorce, that's even worse, and that's possible with the Raisa. So says the Lechem Mishnah, that's how the Rambam knew it. The Rambam knew it from the Rajba's Kasha, from the fact that the Rajba walked in with a Kasha and didn't understand what's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah pick a case of Shtar Choyv and not keep it a regular case of Stam Nesina? Says the Rambam, I'll tell you why. Because if it were to be a Stam Nesina case, he gave it without saying anything. That's not in a get. Right? What does it say in the Mishnah? In a get. Says the Rambam, I can't read the Mishnah in a get. It's not true. If we were to give the get and say nothing, it wouldn't be in a get. It'd be a get possum with Rabban. But that's why the Mishnah talks about a case where he gave it in a negative way. He said the wrong thing. Now when you say the wrong thing, now it's taka in again. So the Mishnah assumes that the Rambam got it from the Rajba's Kasha. Achranim point out, and I think this is debatable, that the Rajba who didn't say this, instead the Rajba came up with this whole convoluted answer, the Rajba disagrees with this premise. The Rajba holds that the psul of Shtika is Dairaisa. And therefore the Rajba had no other option besides for making an akimta of a sukim by Sinyan or not.
How
so,
it be derisive? It doesn't say, but not, it just says we're not.
Yeah, that's a big question we'll have to get to. If it's derisive, where does it come from? Where does it say in the Torah anything? We'll have to get to that. But so the Achranim point out that the Rajba who didn't give this answer, it must be he holds, it's not true. Because the Rajba could have got out of his kasha very easily. He could have said that the reason why the Mishnah didn't say this is because one's psul derisive and one's psul derabon. It must be the Rajba holds that when you give a get with shtika, if you were to give a get to a lady and just say nothing, the get would be psul derisive. I don't know, I'm not convinced it's such a raya in the Rajba. Why didn't the Rajba answer that? He answered something else. I think the Rajba's answer is also a good answer. He made an akimta, he made a shtikl Torah. However, if you look in the Torah, in Kuf Lamed Vav, in Evin Ezra, the Torah is mefurish. The Torah writes that if a man gives a get to a lady and he says nothing, says the Torah, ain't a get. That means it's deraisa. So at least in some Rishonim, it's muchach, not like the Rambam. At least in the Torah, it's muchach, he didn't hold like the Rambam. And he held that if you give a get which strictly shtika, it's taka, not a get mid-deraisa. But it needs some form of an explanation. Where does it say in the Torah you need to say anything when you give a get? So let's go to the Rambam for a second. The Rambam Shita is a little easier to explain. The Rambam, the way the Achreinim are medayik from the Rambam holds that if you give a get with shtika and you don't say anything, the get's pasul midrabanan. Why? So the Avnei Meluim writes over in 4b, an interesting piece of Avnei Meluim. Same shtickl is found in the Beis Shmuel. He writes like this, V'hatam, number 4b on the left side. He says, V'hatam k'meshe k'savnu mishum de'ikr gerishin k'osav beget. He points out because when it comes to gerishin, we know what really does the gerishin is the paper. The shtar. Right? That's what makes the chalois gerishin. So therefore says the Avnei Meluim, El k'sh'oim eloshin ha'makalkel hanu k'nsi shtar choyb zeh. But if you use negative wording, you say something that's direct contradiction to what's said on the paper, then it looks like you want to be mavato what you just gave or what you just said. says davne milum, but when you give the piece of paper, the paper speaks for itself, so to say. When you hand over a get that has on it all the proper wording, so the get speaks for itself. You don't have to say anything. So if you say nothing, says the Rambam, no, it's a psal the Rabbanim. So again, you have to know why the Rabbanim wanted you to talk. And it's such a beautiful pshat, let the paper speak for itself, so don't say anything. For whatever the reason is, the Rabbanim felt you still need to do some talking, but that's midr Rabbanim. Midr Raisa, so the paper speaks for itself. However, says the Avni Milum, but if you're going to use negative wording, wording that's confusing to us what you want to do, so that's going to ruin it. But if you say nothing, says the Avni Milum, Beishmul, same shot, that then we say the shtar speaks for itself. The Avni Milum uses this to explain an interesting shita. He uses to explain the fizeh, you can have an eved to be a shliach to deliver a get. Because he talks about, you know, we know you can't send a shliach to do something that you yourself, that he himself can't do. You have to be in the parsha. You have to be with getting the kedushin. So if you send an eved to make a divorce, so they have a whole back and forth. Is he in the parsha? Is he not in the parsha? So someone asks, what do you mean? But eved's not in the parsha because the amira. What do you do with the amira? So he said, you don't need the amira. The amira is not a part of the chalis gerushin. The amira doesn't make the gerushin. Mid the raisa say nothing. Keep your mouth shut. Just deliver the paper. An Eved can deliver a paper. He's capable of delivering a paper. He can be a mailman. And the whole gerushin is really just delivering this paper and let the paper speaking for itself. So it says the Avnei Meluim, that's pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam holds that the paper will speak for itself. And therefore you don't need any amira. So therefore the Rambam holds mid the raisa, you don't need any amira. But the Rabbanon, they were masakin. As opposed to the Rajba, the way people think the Rajba holds, that the Rajba holds midirais, you need to say something and you can't give a get without any explanation. The Mi'iri in number 6, Kedaka HaKadosh, always has the curveball in the sugya, right? The Mi'iri does it here as well. The Mi'iri is bothered with the Rajba's kasha. The Rajba walks in with a kasha. Why did our Mishnah have to jump to a case of a shtar choiv? The Mishnah could have kept it simple. You got to say something. You can't give a get without saying anything. Says the Mi'iri, no. Maybe our Mishnah taka argues on the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni. Our Mishnah in Gena holds you never need to say anything. You never have to say a word. But you can't say negative words. The chiddush of our Mishnah is that if you say something incorrect or something that takes away from the Nesina, then you have to fix it with Hagitech. But on a regular get, you don't have to say anything. Keep your mouth shut, give the get. What?
She found it, didn't say anything, it's still not a get.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to have to talk about that case in the Gemara. We're going to have to see a little bit more about that case of Ayim Atosim Echiriv. Yeah,
my question here, don't you also have to give another Nesina? In other words, if you messed up the wording, you should also have to give
another Nesina. Yeah, that's the kash that we need to talk about in any case. Even in, without the Mi'iri.
No, more so, I'm saying.
You're right. If you assume that there's something fundamentally wrong with saying Kinsi Shtach Chavzeh, so the only way to fix that is by making Umayis and Nesina. So the Mi'iri is a Das Yachid in the Rishayim over here, where he wants to suggest that maybe our Mishnah in Gittin hold, you never need to say anything. Every time you give a get, you can keep your mouth closed. It's just that if you say something wrong, you have to fix it with Hagitech, which is widely not accepted in Mishnah. Which Mishnah?
The Mishnah, our Mishnah, because it says if she found it.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about Aisha Matas and Mechayev, how that works. Again, the Mi'iri is a Das Yachid, clearly not accepted in Halacha, and Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, we paskin that you have to say Hagitech. Okay, let's now try to tackle our Mishnah. We now learn that there's some at least background information that you need to make an Amira. The question is, so now what happens when instead of making no Amira, you make a negative Amira? So there's Gemara in Gittin Daf Nunhei number 7. The Gemara tells like this: Me'edusa Shab Yechlin ben Gudgur Omar Le'edim Reu Get Zeh Shani Noisin Lo. Let's say the guy is about to divorce his wife. He turns to the two Edim and says, "Listen, guys, I'm about to divorce my wife. This is again, I'm going to divorce her." The Chazav Omar Lo Kinsi Shtar Chayv Zeh. When he gives it to her, he doesn't tell her that. She doesn't hear this conversation. She's in the back. He tells the Edim, "Listen, guys, I'm getting ready to do a divorce. You know, I'm taking this big leap over here." And then, you know, either wish him luck or not luck, I'm not sure. And he says, okay, good. And then he turns to the wife, he tells her, here's a shtar chayv, here's a bill. So what's the halacha then? Says the Gemara, I raise him a gereshes. That's a good get. Says the Gemara, Mila Mabechim, a good girl, loy beinan daitoy. You don't need her consent. She doesn't need to have to agree to it. So hachanam, loy beinan daitoy. You don't need her consent. So why does she have to know what's going on? So you ask me, so why do the Edom have to know what's going on? Okay, good, we'll have to talk about it. Says the Gemara, pshita mao de seimo. The Gemara thinks it's such a pashat halacha. What's all chiddush? Mao de seimo kiva da'ma kinti shtachiv zeh. Betulei batlei. I would have thought that when the husband turns to the wife and says, here's a bill, he basically undid what he just told the Edom. Very nice, he told the Edom, I want to give a get, but he retracted. How do we know he retracted? Because he told the wife a different story. So the fact that he told his wife that it's a shtar choiv, it means that even though he told the Edom a minute ago, I want to give a get, he changed his mind. In a second, he had a change of heart, and now he doesn't want to divorce her.
But what he told the Edom is what he did. It was a get.
He told the Edom that this is going to be a get, but when he told the lady, so we would have thought this is, again, obviously, Ossi Dima, Mavatal Dima type of svaris, but over here, the Gemara is assuming that he changed his mind, and he retracts what he told the Edom. He turned it to be a
bill.
Okay, again, but the Maisa is not a stira to being a shtar choiv.
How do we know he changed his mind? Maybe he just doesn't.
We don't know. Oh, so says the Gemara, I'm not sure. Kamash Malon, that in Isa the Batle, if he really wanted to annul it, he would have told it to the Edom. So why did he do this? Because he's embarrassed. So the Gemara is back and forth, trying to figure out what's running through the mind of this fellow. He tells the Yetim one story, he tells the lady another story. What's he want to do? What's his intention? But you see clearly from the Gemara that the das of the Isha is completely irrelevant in this entire conversation. Her want, her will, makes no difference. Ah, so how do you learn our Mishnah? If you this Gemara in Gittin, it comes out that you wouldn't need to make any Amira.
No.
You have to know what he wants, right?
Oh, yes, no, with
the Edom.
Or the Edom,
right, right. It sounds like, good, good. It sounds like from the Mishnah that not only do you have to have Edom, you have to, she needs to know what's going on. It sounds like the Mishnah, the Chesaron in the Mishnah is, she doesn't know what's going on. Who needs her? It's clear from the Gemara, in the Gemara in later on. Right, right, right. It sounds like from the Mishnah that the whole issue has to do with the fact that she's unaware. Who needs her to be aware? Maybe the Edom need to be aware, maybe the Rabbi needs to be aware, but the fact that she needs to be aware, whoever mentioned that.
And why is it that she's not aware?
Why does it matter
what he says that she's not aware when she gets the Nesina Biyada and she has to get? That makes her
she
aware.
She reads it, right, right.
So no matter what he says, his intent in handing it to her, that makes her aware.
Good. That's what we need to talk about.
No, but maybe that confuses her. He says, I'm giving you a bill.
That's
a get.
Right.
So obviously it means to give me a get.
But again, who did it mean, him or her?
Him.
All right, that's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said, we don't know what he wants to do.
Right. The fact that he said, I'm giving you a bill, maybe he thought I was giving him a bill.
Oh, I mean, maybe the husband himself is not sure he wants to do.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, see,
we'll talk about that also.
I think the focus is wrong. You keep focusing on the Amira, or you hypothesize that the Amira is for her. The Amira may just as well be for him.
Good. Why?
Because because that articulates to make, if you're going to change status, you want to make sure that when you're doing this, that you're 100%
yes.
clear in terms of what you're doing. So when you're articulating, it's not for her.
We good. Have to be good. Sure what he's
yeah, yeah, good. So let's see. Let's work it out together. So let's start with a Tosfos over here. Tosfos right on our Mishnah. Tosfos Be'os goes on the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says you have to say, Hagitech. So Tosfos quotes a Ri. Says the Ri, Ri hayimatzrich l'noisin ged l'ishto loymer Hagitech. The Ri, whenever he was Masada Gittin, whenever the Ri held that, whenever there was a get being given, the Ri had two requirements. Requirement number one was you have to say Hagitech. You have to say to the lady, here's your get. The Gam, Hare'at Muteris L'chaladim. You also have to tell her when you're giving her the get, you say, listen, by the way, you should know you're mutter to the whole world. He had to say that. Not write it in the get, but he had to say it. Says Taisus, where did he get this from? Kedemashma Bahamagarish. You see from the Gemara in Gittin, Shahi Rigilim Loimar Gamkein. Vidon. They used to say the words Vidon. Now, we didn't get to this part of Hamagarish. We stopped about an omer before this. But if we were to continue into Hamagarish, the Mishnah over there discusses what's the writing of a get. And the Mishnah has a whole discussion. Do you actually have to write in the body of the get the words Hareya Muter Sechal Adam? Or is just assumed that's what a get is? So the Gemara says you have to write it in. You got to write it into the actual get, these words Hareya Muter Sechal Adam. So that's what the raya that Tosfos is bringing. So asks the Pnei Yeshua, what type of raya is that? The Gemara over there is discussing how you write a shtar. And the Ri is saying how you give a shtar. They're not comparable. One issue is what do you say when you give a get? And one issue is what do you write when you write a get? So the fact that the Gemara in Gittin says you have to write the words Ariyam Uteris is a halach and Hilchas Gittin. Hilchas Chsivas Haget. What does that have to do with Amiras Haget? It's mamish apples and oranges. I'm not sure. I think at the end of the day, we all agree that a get is what's creating the Chalais Gerishin. So if the Gemara has a discussion of how to write a get, that's fine. I have no problem. How do you write a get? But that's a question of how to write a get. That doesn't have any connection to what to say when giving a get. I don't see what that's the Pnei Yeshua's kasha. So the Pnei Yeshua says, you're right. It's taka very good kasha. He says that you have to change Tosfos a little bit. That's the power of the Achrenim. They'll change Tosfos a little bit. They'll tell you that Tosfos doesn't mean the Gemara in Daf Pehe. It really means the Gemara in Kedushin Davav. The Gemara Kedushin Davav, we'll blame the printer. And the Gemara Kedushin Davav says that the Gemara is a whole discussion. We learned this together in Davav. If you say to a wife the wrong nusach by a divorce, so the Gemara says it's no good. Why? Because you see, you have to write the right nusach when you write the get. So says the Pnei Yeshua. You see from the Gemara. The Gemara makes this jump that whatever you write in the get is what you have to say to the isha. Now it doesn't answer the question. It just says, oh, I have a raya that's okay. All the Pnei Yeshua is doing is I'll bring you a raya from a Gemara that sometimes what goes into the body of the get is similar to what you say when giving the get. The Pnei Yeshua ends off his piece over there. He says, Achidush la'aloch. He says he disagrees respectfully with Tosfos. Right? That's the power of the Achrayim. They can do that also when it's respectfully. They can say also argue in the Rishayim. He thinks that Tosfos holds that if you give a get and don't say Hagitech, it's possible b'di'evit. If you give a get and say Hagitech and don't say Muteres L'chal Adam, it's only not Lechatchil. Even though when you read Tosfos, it doesn't sound like that. Tosfos lumps the two halachas in the same category. Pnei Yeshua says, no, he splits the two. If you say, don't say Hagitech, the get's possible even b'di'evit. That's a Mishnah Maaseh Sheni. But there's new chiddush of Tosfos that if you have to say the words Harei Amutaz L'Chadam, says the Pnei Shur that even Tosfos thinks it's only L'Chadchim. So Tosfos has a raya from a Gemara that you have to say Hagiteich and you have to say Harei Amutaz. So comes along the Tosfos and asks Akasha, Miu Kasha, Deba Hanizdokin, Frek Tosfos Akasha from the Gemara we just read over there. The Gemara says that Mashma Dafilo Yomar Kasha. You see, you re-walk in and tell me you have to say Hagitach and you have to say Hari Amuteris. It's not true. I'll prove it to you. The Gemara we just read together. The Gemara over there says, Dafilu lo yomar kosher. Kabmedus shabirchim gudgudon nishma oma leidim ru getze. You see from the Gemara before that he didn't say a word to the lady. He said to the wife, Kinsi shtar choif. He didn't say anything. And yet the get still chal. So how could the rehold, every time you give a get, you have to say Hagitach and Hari Amuteris? And for Taisvis, Yeshleima, no. Dasam nami achakach yagidu loha edim shehi migureshes. Says Taisvis, you're right. The husband might have not said it to her, but someone said it to her. After the edim heard from the husband, the edim turned to her and said, oh, by the way, you're getting divorced. So there was an amira leisha. It didn't come from the husband, but it was made at some point during the procedure. Therefore, says Taisvis.
Where would we ever see that somebody other than the husband?
So it might depend on why you need the Amir in the first place. Right. As Taisvis goes on to explain. Says Taisvis, now, just the Lashon of Taisvis is very interesting. The Hasam Nami Achakach Yagidu Loha Edim. Afterwards, the Edim will say to her, by the way, you should know you just got divorced. Shehim Begureshes. Affect Taisvis, the $1 million Kasha. Alpha Pida Isha Misgureshes Bal Karcha. Why do you need anything? Why do we need any amir? Why do we need anything to say to her? Just give her the paper and move on. Says Taisus, Mikol Mokam Tzarech Loim Ala Hagitech Variat Muteres Lachol Adam Sheteida Shehi Migureshes. She has to understand that she's divorced. V'loy Tehei Chazeres. She has to know not to return. To be Inan Shehi Mishalcha Ve'ene Chazeres. Now Taisus is borrowing a Gemara. The Gemara of Mishalcha Ve'ene Chazeres is not talking about a regular woman. It's talking about a Shoyter. The lady doesn't get it. She doesn't understand that she's not welcome here. And she comes back every single day after she got divorced. So the Gemara says that doesn't work. It doesn't tell you send her away. She has to have enough understanding not to return. She has to have the brain capacity to realize what a divorce means. Now over here, it's not the issue that she lacks the capacity. She's unaware of the fact. So the Achrayim do point out that Taisa is a little jumping to compare our case to that Gemara. That Gemara is talking about a lady who can't comprehend what does it mean to be divorced. This lady could... Right, so Midrash, you can't divorce her. Right, you can't, you're stuck with her. You can't divorce her because she doesn't fit the Mishalcha Ve'ene Chazeres. It sounds like it's Gzeres HaKasef. But our Gemara is not the same case. This lady might be a very bright woman. She just doesn't understand she got divorced. If someone would tell her, by the way, you got divorced, she'd be the first one to pack her bags. So, she's right, so it's not the same thing as not being able to comprehend. It's just being unaware. Taisus makes that leap to assume that they're the same. That so both...
Not a problem with Taisus that... After the Nesina?
That's another issue. But L'chayre, the Fizet makes sense in Taisus. Why it doesn't have to come from the husband? Right, Lafitte, now we understand the beginning part of Taisus. We want to know why is it the Edom are going to be able to do the job. The answer is not part of the Chalos. If this would be a part of the Chalos has to come from the husband. You can't have someone else doing part of the get. This is not part of the get. This is a side issue. There's a din. She has to be aware of not to return.
Doesn't it have to happen simultaneously with the get?
Good.
What happens if they told her a week later?
So that's a machloikas achrayim, how to learn those words in Taisus. Taisus says over there, Achar kach yagidula, afterwards. When afterwards? When do you tell her? You tell her 2 weeks later? When do you do that? Okay, we'll have to talk about it.
It's not a din in Amir, it's a din in the woman being aware of
correct.
What's going on. And what's the comparison to Kedushin? So the machlokes you have by a supposing by Kedushin.
Correct. Correct. According to this Taisus, again, he's a minority opinion in the Rishonim. Taisus also has nothing to do with regular discussions of Das, whereabouts, understanding what's going on. This is a din. You have to get what's going on to know not to come back. You have to be aware. Assuming some, as long as she knows what's going on. Meaning, so that's why a sukkah by sinyan would work. If you know, 5 minutes ago you're talking about that she's got to find a new apartment to live in, then you hand her a piece of paper without explaining, so she fizzles up. I get it. So here she's all confused. Right. So here she has no idea what's going on. She doesn't know that yet. So once. No. The case is where you told her it's a shtar chayv. Right? You told the lady, here's your. She does, she thinks she's still welcome here. So yesh ladam. I think we could debate that. So where did Taisus deal with the Rashba's kasha? Did Taisus hold it as sukkah by sinyan and shtar chayv makes it worse, which some Rishonim will suggest, or he holds it taken out of sukkah by sinyan? I think that's debatable. I don't think it's muchach and Taisus either way. So that's Taisus.
Where was she? She doesn't have it.
We
assume she never reads it.
Right. We assume she never reads it, or by then it might be too late. It might have been that the nesina was given without the idea, and then it happens later. It might not be good. We'll have to again. There's a little bit of a technical issue over here, right? You made a nesina at 7 o'clock. She reads it at 7:30. So at 7:30 she says to herself, hey, well, what is this? So 7:35 the husband comes and says, Hagitech. So the Mishnah says, okay, good, you're divorced now. So the obvious kasha is, how does that work? There should be a problem with what's called Tlegitach Me'agabe Karka. We know that every get needs to have a good Nesina.
Those took place at the time of the Nesina.
Is that true?
That's what it seems like.
So it's going to be totally. We're going to have to talk about it. It might be totally in various pshatim Roshan. We'll have to get to that still. That's a big piece. We'll have to see. We'll have to later Acharim deal with it. If Salvechik has a piece, Moshe Weiss says, we'll have to deal with that still. But that's clear from the Mishnah. It's clear from the Mishnah that when you did this bad Amira, you can fix it without a new Mais in the Sina. Which again, we'll see really maybe even today is really Mephorish and Mishnah. So Taisvis is mechadish to us a new pshat in the sugya, or maybe the only pshat in the sugya for now, that the reason why you need to have an amira, both by stam amira and by shtar choiv, why it's no good is because it's not clear to the isha what's going on, and she has to be aware of what's going on so she knows not to return.
No, she doesn't consent to it.
Right, she doesn't have to consent. She has to be aware of it. This is a musig that Taisus uses in Kedushin also. Sometimes you have to be aware that you're not in control. You just have to know. You have to know that we're doing against your will, but you know about it. You're aware of the idea that the get is taking place and you're not welcome back. Whether you agree or not agree, it doesn't make a difference. You have no... That's right. You have no power in it as well, but you have to know that you're getting divorced. That's Taisus' pshat. So the Marsha comes in over here with a very stark akasha. Fact the Marsha, why did the Re have to jump... Why do you have to jump to ask akasha from the Re on the Gemara Daf Nun Hey? Why don't you ask akasha from our Mishnah to the Mishnah on the Gemara Daf Nun Hey? Our Mishnah says clearly that if you say Shtar Chayiv, no good. The Gemara says in Daf Nun Hey, if you tell Shtar Chayiv, it is good. So why do you have to bring the Re into this conversation? Forget the Re. Let's make believe the Re never existed. I'll ask you akasha. The Mishnah by Yossi Gittin says if you say Shtar Chayiv, it's no good. The Gemara Nun Hey says if you say Shtar Chayiv, it is good. Stira. Why do you have to get so complicated over there? Taisus throws in a Re and a whole Shtikol Torah. In fact, the Mashiach, forget the Shtikol Torah. Simple. The Mishnah B'Yos and Kedushin says, Gittin says, if you go over to a lady, you tell her it's a legal document, and it's not a shtar, it's a bill, that gets no good. The Gemara says nothing in hay. If you go over to a lady and you tell her, here's a get, here's a shtar choy, the get is good. Stira, right off the bat. Why do you have to get so complicated? That's the kasha of the Mashiach. Who needs the Re to make things more complicated? So the Mashiach answers in number 9, he says like this. He says, because before the Re comes into town, we don't really know what's wrong with saying Shtar Chayiv, or why do you need to make any Amira? We don't know. We're kind of lost. Why do you have to say anything? So says the Mashah, I would have thought that the Tzarech Shiyomer HaGitech Kedesh Noyde Kavanos HaKarish. The only reason why you need an Amira from the husband is so everyone's on the same page, that the husband actually wants to divorce his wife. Forget the wife. We don't need her. But we need to know the husband wants to divorce his wife. How do we know what's running through his mind? So says the Mashah, V'kimin Sh'omer Kinsi Shtar Chayiv Tzarech Shiyomer HaGitech. So in the case that the guy first says the words, it's a legal document. So we have no idea what he wants to do. So the only way we know is if he clarifies by saying Hagitech. So that's why our Mishnah says that. Achakach Hagitech ulchein ba'anizokin kiven she'omal le'edim Hagitech harigila daite. So therefore the Gemara Gittin is not a kasha. The Gemara Gittin, he told the Edim first. So he expressed what's running through his mind. Once he expressed what's running through his mind, we don't need him to use magical words called Hagitech.
Obviously, even in the other case, he expressed that some point was going through his mind. He went to a sofa and he said, right up against my... He wrote up
the... We don't know that. We have no pre-existing knowledge.
What he gave her was actually a document of a gift.
We don't know. No, we don't...
The document itself was a gift.
Correct.
So we don't know... At the last, the question is, do we think he's tricking? Do we think he changed his mind? Do we think he has a mental...
Right. We don't know.
So the same thing, he told the agent one thing, but now he clarified it to the agent, but now he went a second later, or 10 seconds later.
That's the subject of the Gemara, right.
So why don't you have the same stuff?
Well, I think the point of my show is...
He spent money, he bought a sofa, and he did all this, and he prepared it. We're willing to say, we're willing to entertain the possibility that at the last second...
Possibly.
He lost his mind, or he changed his mind, or something. So why can't we say the same thing? The fact that he told the Edom, and now we turned around, now he changed his mind.
Yeah, again,
it's the same...
No, the point is that when we're watching the story play out, we don't really have much of an idea of what's going on. You know, the guy turned to Edom...
So that's what I'm saying, it's a parallel, even without the read. The two cases are parallel. If you're willing to say that the fact that he told the Edom clarifies what he really wants to do. Why aren't we willing to say the fact that he wrote up a get, even though he's telling her that's only a subterfuge? He's embarrassed or whatever else we want to say.
Again, the Gemara does use such svaras that the guy is matriach himself to get to go write up a sefer and spend the money. That's usually an indicator that he wants to do the get. Yeah. I guess the Marsha's point over here is that there is still a little bit of a jump between the two cases. Right, one is Edom are right here. He tells the Edom, that's the Marsha's point. So talk to Marsha, so what? So then the Re comes along and the Re says, Da'afilu b'stam nosen get. Then the Masha learns that the Re kicks it up a gear. And he says, no, even if you know what's going on, you know what he wants to do, you still need to have a specific text and nusach you use when you give a divorce. Says Masha, so Mashma, the time of Shetei Dehi, Shemigresh is beget. So you see, the point is that she has to know what's going on. oh, if you have to, if she has to know what's going on, now I have a kasha from the Gemara over there. Over there, she didn't know what was going on. So the Marsha says, without the read, everything would be great. Without the read, it would be very simple. We'd understand that it's just to know what's going through the husband's mind. Once we can figure out what's going through his mind, everything else is simple. But now, says the Marsha, that the read walked in and said, no, you always have to do this. So the Marsha is assuming, why do you always have to do this? Because you always have to know that she knows what's going on. Which is Shver, why does she have to know what's going on? But that's the Marsha's assumption. So fact of Marsha, if she needs to know what's going on, so now there's a good kasha. She doesn't know what's going on. The conversation between her and the Edom are not relevant, between him and the Edom, no one filled her in until later. So that's how the Marsha understood Tosfos, and therefore says the Marsha, that's why Tosfos didn't ask from that case.
But that she needs to know what's going on, the question is whether that's actually part of the act, or that's just something
we'll talk about that.
Has to happen before it goes into...
That's a very fundamental machloikis, maybe even achreinim and paiskim. We'll talk a little bit more about that in other Rishayim, where Baruch Ber, because Shmuel talks about this at length. Is it actually part of the Gerushin, or is it just a mandatory requirement? Or as we'd say, a t'nai in the Gerushin, or does it actually make the chalos Gerushin? We'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes, I hope. That's Taisus' mahalach in the whole sugya. There's another two other mahalachim in the Rishayim that I want to try to at least touch upon today, is the Baal Amor. If you look in the Baal Amor, number 10, the Baal Amor has a slightly different approach to this whole sugya. And the Baal Amor asks the kasha that the Marsha wanted to know Taisus didn't ask. The Baal Amor asks it straight up. The Baal Amor asks that our Mishnah on Gittin is a steer to the Gemara in Daf Nun Hei. Our Mishnah sounds like that Kinsi Shtar Chayv is no good, and there it sounds like Kinsi Shtar Chayv is good. So the Baal Amor answers in a few words. He says like this: V'yesh l'hashif, nihi doi be'inan daito. You're right. You don't need her consent. Avo be'inan shiyotzi habal hashluchin mipiv. The husband has to express the shluchin, the divorce, the procedure, the b'chalois, the outcome, whatever word you want to use, from his mouth. La'achar k'sivas haget. It's a new din. Says the Baal Amor, a new halacha. It's a din that the husband has to say the words of what the get is going to do. She is boinein hadover, or ila edim or ila isha. He can say it to anyone he wants to. He has to express it. Either to the lady, to the edim. He has to express it to someone. V'kevin shepirish hadover la edim. So once he told it to the edim, like the Gemara in Daf Nun Hei, ain't tzarech dasa isha v'gerushin. You no longer need the dasa the isha v'gerushin. This is very vague. What does this mean? Is it din weird? Where does it say this? Where do you get this from the Baal Amor? There's a din that the husband has to express to somebody that he's sending his wife away. He can't just keep it privately. He can't just bottle up. This is probably very therapeutic, but that's probably not why the Baal Amor says he has to do it, right? He has to tell someone that he's divorcing his wife and sending away and making her mutter. Why? Where did he get this from? So it could be that he held this included in a pasuk somewhere. It says in the Torah, you send her away. That means you have to express what you're doing. Now, the problem with that is, the Baal Amor made up a drasha. Which, again, won't be the first and won't be the last time they do it, but that's a chiddush to assume that the Baal Amor made up a drasha.
Maybe it's Mavara Devar, what his intention are. When he gives the Hergen, he says it's a shtracha over.
So that's what's interesting. It doesn't sound like from the Baal Amor. It doesn't sound like from the Baal Amor we're lacking idea of what he wants to do. It doesn't sound like we're not clear what his intent is.
Well, no, but he causes the confusion by saying the Baal Amor, where he doesn't say
yeah, very much. 100%. Extremely. This Baal Amor is against, 100%.
He's causing the confusion.
So right, but it sounds like
to clarify the confusion.
Sound like the Baal Amor saying it.
Right, the Baal Amor saying it to answer up Stamazay. The rule is that you don't need her das. So why does it matter what you say? Because the din be'inon shiyotzi habal hashluchin mipiv. He has to express the words of the divorce from his mouth.
Not because he was contradicting this. Before.
Doesn't say why.
He has to do it.
The question is why? Why is it such a din?
The Baal Amor
was 21
years old when he wrote.
Oh, that's right. I was waiting. Okay, the Baruch Hashem. I had the Baal Amor.
There's your history lesson.
That's it. I'm good to go. I was waiting for the Rav to tell us all the fights between the Baal Amor and
the Baal Amor and the Rish. The Ramban jumps on him.
It was a heated debate. They used to write back and forth to each other. Today, it wouldn't be accepted to write like that for a 21-year-old. The Lashon said that when he was so young and he used to write his shtarker replies back and forth. Ooh, today that wouldn't work. Today the swarm would be banned and double in price.
Same thing with the Shach and the Taz.
Yeah.
The Taz was 80 and he was Shach. 44. And,
And what happened at the end? The Shach always wins versus the Taz. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Akoponim, how do we understand? That's what's not clear to us. How do we learn this Baal Amor? It's not clear. He seemingly pulled out a halacha without any explanation. Again, we need to explain it on two levels. First, we need to explain it in alumnus. And we need to explain where did he get it from. Even if I could I'll dream up a pasuk, a sefri. Well, we'll find. We'll dig up a sefri, right? Yeah, whenever you need something, you'll dig up. We dug up a sefri. We found another Mishnah in a sefri. But what's the Mishnah alumnus? How does this make sense? So the truth is, the Baruch Ber discusses this at length in Birka Shmuel. Not that if I photocopied it would make it any easier for me to understand the Birkas Shmuel, but the Birkas Shmuel discusses this, and he says, you see from the Baal Amor, that the Baal Amor held, it's not a din in the actual Chalais Gerushin. It's not a din that Gerushin requires the man to express. There's a din that every get has to be given, and the Baal has to make his expression of the words. But it's not that it's what makes the divorce. The divorce, and this again, this makes it a little easier to understand. The divorce is made by the paper. That's what makes Chalos Gershon. There's another din, that before any get can be accepted, there also has to be an amir beside the husband. So says Rebbe Baruch Ber, it's not the pshat that his amir is what makes the divorce. It's a t'nai, that if you don't have the husband, it's a checklist. You need to have this, this, and this in order to have a get. You need to have a paper, you need to have a shtar, you need to have this.
As opposed to Kedushin.
That's where he's contrasting. As opposed to Kedushin, where the Amira is what makes the Chalais. Without the Amira of the husband expressing... The difference might be, can you be Mavar this at a later time? Which means, can you give the get at 7 o'clock? At 7:30, he'll say the words, will that be sufficient? Mm-hmm. Is the pshat that if it's not a chal until he does it, so then there's no get? If the pshat is just a tonight, so it could be the mafreya toiro. That's not my word.
Why is the use the lash shalacha ksivas aget and not kodin the sinas aget?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
In other words,
right. It seems like that's
could
the...
Be a whole, that could be months.
Right, it sounds like even before you give the get.
Until you give it to
it sounds like, let's say you wrote the get on Sunday, you don't give it till next Tuesday, but as long as between then and then you said the you said the words, it would be good. It's hard for us to understand because the Baal Amor, to me, is not expressing too much of why you need to express yourself when giving a get.
Is the Baal Amor only speaking on a Dior Reis level? Because he never says that we have to tell her...
It's not clear. It's very vague.
And you cannot go back.
Very vague in the Baal Amor. Now, if you're looking very quickly, number 11, if you look in the Rajba, so the Rajba found the Sifri. Right? He found Sadrusha. Says in the Sifri, number 11b, says the Rajbo, b'sifri tana, v'nosam b'yodo, v'shilcha mi'beisoy, mikan amru, kosav get li'ishta, v'om alokin sishtach ha'ivzeh, ene get. So that's the Sifri. So it could be that's where the Baal Amor is coming from.
That's where it's a contradictory thing. It's not that
that's the first kasha. The first kasha is, you see from the Sifri only in the case where you use the negative Lashon.
Right.
You don't see anything about when you use no Lashon. Right. You don't see from the Sifri if you to use this regular shtik. So that's the har on the Baal Amor. Okay, I think we'll... Next, is there Sunday before Pesach? What are we doing?
By raise of hands, the Sunday before Pesach, just tell us who will be here and available to come to Shir.
Okay,
right.
So next week will be regular Gittin, and then the following Sunday will be Nyanid de Pesach. So Mr. Shem, next week we'll finish up with this Baal Amor. We'll see another two Mahalchim in the Rishayim, and then we'll hopefully, Belinah, to start the Gemara.